Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
I want us to start here this morning with this question right here. And it's kind of a statement, but can we just get to the heart of the matter? I don't know if you've ever asked that or ever thought that. Maybe you were sitting somewhere in a meeting, and in the meeting, you're thinking to yourself, what is the point of this? Where are we going with this? Is there a purpose for this gathering, or is it just for the person that's there to continue to talk? Could we just get to the heart of the matter? Like, we could take this 3-hour meeting and put it down to a half hour if we would just get to the heart of the matter. And it could be that you're listening to somebody speak at some time at some conference and you're like, where are they going with this? I don't know where they're going with this. And I wish we would just get to the heart of the matter. And today I want to do that with you, is to dive to the heart of the matter. In particular, we're going to be in Exodus chapter 20. And I want to get to the heart of the matter of these things that we refer to as the Ten Commandments. Like, what are they? And what's the purpose of the Ten Commandments? Why did God give them to us? And as we read them this morning, I want us to think about this too, especially these last six. Last week, we tackled the first four, which really are vertical commands. How do we relate to God? That love the Lord your God, to have no other idols, make no other gods before him. And then these last six, they're horizontal, if you will. It's about, how do we relate to one another? How do we interact with one another? How are we to live as a people with one another? And in these last six, at least as I read them, I went, it feels like a pretty low bar. Like, I'm not saying we've all made it, because no. But it feels low enough that if we decided from here forward that we don't want to miss one of them ever again in our lives, like, we might be able to clear the bar, maybe. Low enough for that. And as we read it, just think about that. So here's the scripture. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says, honor your father and your mother. All right, so that's command number 5. Like, honor mom and dad. Feel like I could do that. And it says, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. That land would have been Canaan. That you can live long in this promised land that I'm giving to you. Honor your father and your mother. And then it moves on. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. Feels like it's low enough to kind of clear. Like, these are the commands right here in order. Honor your mom and dad. Like, okay, I can do that. I can honor my mom and dad. Do not murder anyone. All right. Wasn't really thinking about doing it anytime soon anyway. We're good there. Check. Do not commit adultery. Okay, I can do that. Do not steal. Fine. I don't need to take something from the store or from somebody else. That's okay. I won't do that. Do not get on the stand and lie. It said, do not bear false testimony against your neighbor. Don't get on the stand, take the Bible, put your hand on it and say, before you and before God, I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. I am not gonna lift up a prayer like that. Say, help me God to speak the truth and then get on the stand and lie. Won't do that. Do not covet. So by that, you mean what? Like, be grateful for the things that I have? Yeah. Be grateful for my house? Yeah, do that. Grateful for the car that I have? Yes, be grateful. Grateful for the level of health I have? Even if I don't have complete health, at least to be grateful for what I do have and not to look at somebody else and say, I wish. Yeah, I can do that. I can do that. So check, 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 check. Feels like it's a bar that's low enough, at least at first glance at it, that we could cross over, that we can clear this one. And if that's what it's about, like if that's the heart of the matter, to make sure that God has given you some rules and he's given me some rules and you need to make sure that you clear them, if that's what it's about, then I have a question. I mean, if that's all that it's about, then I have a question. And the question would be this: why did God gather them before this mountain? This is Mount Sinai. Why before this massive mountain did he gather up the Israelites after they've been in slavery for 400 years? He brings them to the edge of the mountain. Then he calls Moses up the mountain. Moses makes his way up the mountain, and at the top of the mountain, he's up here for 40 days and 40 nights before he comes back down again. Why? And why on that mountain was there lightning flashes right before the eyes of all the Israelites gathered there? Why? Because the giving of the Ten Commandments is here. Why is it thundering, booming up on that mountain? Why is there smoke that billows on the mountain? Why do they hear a trumpet blast in the midst of all of this? Why did God etch with his own finger into stone the Ten Commandments and have Moses come down the mountain? Why such a display? Why such drama if all this is to make sure you cross the low bar of don't do a few of these things right here? It's got to be more than that. Has to be. And really, what is it? What is the matter? What is the heart of the matter on this thing? What is it? And in order to get there, it's actually not that hard to get there, because God did this amazing thing for you and he did this amazing thing for me. And as we stood with these children today and held them and said over them, though you do not yet know it yet, Jesus came for you and you and each one of us in this room. He came to put on display who God is. And Jesus did more than that. He would take a stool and he would gather that stool and sit before people and have a conversation, a rabbi sitting to unpack the scriptures with them. And on a particular day, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, where he did the majority of his ministry. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he noticed a large crowd, not uncommon, and was at this space. And at this space, he moved up toward the mountain and began to unpack the most famous sermon that's ever been preached. Of course, Jesus preached it. And it's called the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on this mount, this hillside. And this is a more modern picture, but it's here. And some of us have stood there. I've been there on that side. It's a gentle slope that moves up, gives the vantage point. I can see the guy that's speaking, and I can hear. He doesn't have a microphone, but because of the natural amphitheater here, I can at least hear what he's saying. And Jesus began to speak to them, saying, "Blessed are you. Blessed are you who are pure in heart. You're going to see God. The kingdom of heaven is going to come to you. Blessed are you who mourn, because there are those that are around you and God himself who will comfort you. And blessed are you who are peacemakers in this world, not tearing people apart, but putting things back together again. You're children of God. And blessed are you who are meek." I know it doesn't seem like this, but the humble. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient, even to death on the cross. The humble in heart. You will inherit the earth. It belongs to you. And then having said these things, Jesus actually launches into the heart of the matter for the Ten Commandments. He begins to teach on each one of these commands that we see in the final six. So if we want to know the heart of the matter, we just have to open up the Gospel of Matthew to chapter 5 and we can see it. And what Jesus begins to unpack, he starts with these words right here, saying, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets." Now that's bigger than the 10, because the law is the first five books of the Bible. It's called the Torah. He's saying the Torah, I haven't come to undo that, or the prophets, meaning the major prophets, the minor prophets. And actually, this was another way of saying, I have not come to abolish the entirety of the Old Testament. I have come, if you could back up, please. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And so when we think about that, when he's saying, I've not come to abolish, but to fulfill, I don't know about you, but like for me, when I hear that, I think, at least in the English, at first glance, we would think, is there a big difference between those two? Like abolish and fulfill. Because they seem like the same word, abolish and fulfill. And abolish actually means to end something, and fulfill actually means to complete something. So in both these cases, we would be thinking abolish, fulfill, it's to complete, to get done, to end, to finish something. That's the English. But we have to remember that these people, when he's talking about the law, the prophets, or the commandments, we're talking about the Old Testament. We're talking about the Hebrew language. And the Hebrew language for abolish, the word is actually le'akor. And the word fulfill is le'kayem. Very different in their understanding, because le'akor actually means this. To abolish would be to undermine the commandments by misrepresenting them. Undermine the commandments by misrepresenting. Why would anybody do that? Why would anybody want to do that? Why would anybody want to lower the bar so low that it feels like every one of us, I can clear that? Check, 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 check. And the word lekayem actually means to fulfill, which is to properly interpret the commandments so that you can know what God wants for you. For you. Very key. It's for you. That these commandments aren't that you obey them for the sake of the commands. They're given for you. That God actually wants something for you. Now, what we know about these 10 commandments is that there were actually rabbis that set fences up around them. Because their understanding, they didn't get to the heart of the matter. They just got to the rules on it. They majored in the rules. And when you major only in the rules, for the sake of the rules, and not for you, you can actually make the mistake of thinking that you were made for those rules, to make sure that you keep them. And so they would set 613 rules around these 10 rules or commands. And the purpose was, if you can just keep these, great. Because then for sure you're going to keep these. But if you blow these, that's okay. As long as you don't blow these 10 that God gave on that mountain that smoked and thundered and had lightning and the trumpet blast etched in stone. It was as if Jesus was actually saying, when we think about le'akor and lekem, he was saying these words right here. I did not come to misinterpret the commands for you. I came to interpret them properly so that you can know what God wants for you. I hear, and this is going to feel almost ridiculous, just about. Except this is what it would mean to lay a core, some of these commandments. It could look like this. As long as I don't lie in the courtroom, I can lie everywhere else. I mean, don't, but if you do, not as big a deal. Just don't, because the command, the rule, says do not bear false witness. Don't put your hand on the Bible. Don't step into the courtroom. Do not say, so help me God, and then lie. Don't do that, because that breaks that law. And so we set up a bunch of fences around it, making sure that you don't practice lying, because eventually you could break that one. And that's the point. It's not the point. And Jesus makes it. That's not the point. That's a rule that you are meant for, rather than a rule that's for you. Very different. It could look like this, le'akor, abolish. As long as I don't murder someone, I can be the most contentious Christian you have ever seen. I can be the most ridiculous person you've ever seen. I can be the rudest person you've ever seen. I can be the most argumentative person you've ever seen. I can say what I want when I want to anybody because that's just who I am. And as long as I don't murder, I know it sounds ridiculous. And yet, how many of us see that sometimes? Somebody that posts something online and you look at it and you read it and go, oh, that beautiful scripture verse. But wait a minute. I know you. I've watched you. I've heard you. I hear what comes out of your mouth. And how many people see that? That don't really even know the Bible, don't even yet know Jesus, but they know that. This and that, one of these things isn't like the other. They don't quite match up what's happening here. Here'd be another one for like Mother's Day, for honoring your mother. It says to honor mother, as long as I text mother, happy Mother's Day, I'm good on this honoring thing. I'm good on it. Is that the heart of it? Is that the heart of the matter? And the heart of the matter is no. No, that's not the heart of the matter on this one. When we live like that, and here's where the real difficulty comes in. When we're just a bunch of rule keepers, making sure whatever that bar is, I mean, you want the bar as low as possible if you're a rule keeper so that you can clear it. And you think, did the rabbis actually do some of this? Yep, they actually did. They did some of this. That they would say, when you're swearing an oath, you know, you make sure that you swear an oath. Swear an oath by God, you better keep it. But they also had this thing that infiltrated in, slippery. But if you swear by heaven, well, that's not quite as much as God. And so if you slip on that one, not as big a deal. But don't slip on this one. Don't miss that. That's keeping the bar low on this thing, and it's missing the very heart of it. And it can lead people, and it does lead people to saying this kind of stuff. I like your Jesus. I just don't like you. I like your Jesus. I just don't care for the way you guys live. I don't like that. And Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish. I came to fulfill. I did not come to lay a core. I came to lekayem. I came to bring life to these words. I came to bring them alive. I came so that you would fully know what God actually wants for you. And so in Matthew chapter 5, with a crowd gathered before him, sitting on a stool, he's looking at the crowd saying, man, I have something for you who have misunderstood. You've understood it and abolished understanding of the commandments, a lekor one. But I want to lekayem here for a minute so you can understand how much God wants for you. And so he began to unpack one at a time. And actually, we don't find it to the 15th chapter, this one here, the honor your mother and your father. But then it's murder and adultery and stealing and coveting, lying. He covers all of them. Hits them all in the Gospel of Matthew. And in the honor of your mother and father, a reductionist understanding of a low bar would just mean this. Hey, when you're living in Canaan, the land that the Lord your God has given you, just make sure when your mom and dad get old enough that they have a place to stay and they have food to eat. Period. That's it. If you do that, you can stay in the land. If you don't do that, we as a society will not allow you to even stay in this area. We'll take care of them, but you need to leave if you can't honor that. That's a low bar. What does God ask us to do? Way more. You can see it all over the scripture. But you can see it especially in the teachings of Jesus and how we move toward. And in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 15, you can see him beginning to unpack this stuff. And for some of us here today, honor mom and dad, so easy. So easy. Some of our moms and dads who have gone to heaven, so grateful for them. And others of us, it's really hard. And it's because of our experience. It's because of what we grew up in. It's because of how we were treated as children or how we got treated as adults. And it's really hard. And the higher bar here where Jesus says, I want something for you. And he teaches even in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5 this stuff. Forgive as your Father forgives you. How did the Father forgive us? He said, I do this for my own sake. For my own sake, I let go of your sin so that we could be put back together again. That's the first step. Some of us, because we have an understanding of forgiveness that goes beyond just a matter of your own heart, we've had a hard time doing that. Like, man, if I forgive, that means it made it okay? Nope. That doesn't make it okay. There'd be no reason to forgive if there wasn't something wrong that happened. Forgiving means I let go of my right to get even. And I begin to know that I've forgiven when I start wishing that person well. Like, I don't want any ill to come on them. I wish something better for their life than what they have too. It doesn't mean you reconcile. That may be safe. It may not be wise. I don't know the answer to that in your situation. But that we might even take steps in that direction, that would be the way of God, because he reconciled us to himself, even when we didn't deserve that. And so that our prayer would be, our move would be toward forgiveness, toward, this is a way higher bar, and it's a lot more work than just sending a text. This is what Jesus is saying, L'kayem. I want you to understand what is good for you. Because when you forgive, something beautiful happens in your heart. And then you should not murder. On verse, in the fifth chapter for the sixth commandment, what we see Jesus not saying is, like, I don't want you to, when you think about your neighbors, I just don't want you to stab a neighbor. Like, it's got to be more than that. He actually moves it toward, how do you move toward your neighbor? How do you move toward them? And the invitation is, like, if you have this bitterness, if you have this anger inside of you, if you have this resentment in you, and like, I'm not talking to him. You know, he thinks differently than me. I'm not going to talk to her. You know what? All of that is a move toward so that you can get in proximity with, to the best of your ability, to live at peace with those around you. Not just to not murder, but to move toward being the best neighbor in the neighborhood. I love that idea. That maybe they don't want to be Christians, but they want one next door because of who they are and how they live. Not everybody around Jesus was fully bought into Jesus yet. But do you notice how many crowds he has around him? Why? And the proximity to people that others repelled, Jesus was a magnet to. And he's saying, that, move to that. Adultery, do not commit adultery. It's not just refrain from the physical act. Keep the bar low, just don't do that. No, you know, I know, it's way more than that. It's a matter of your eyes. It's a matter of the heart. Whenever you find yourself giving yourself over, even the beginning steps of that, caution. Have eyes only for her, for him. Have that space that is sacred for him, for her only. Only. Intimacy goes way beyond the physical act. Jesus unpacked it. L'kayem. There's something more beautiful here for every one of you. Stealing and coveting. I love what Jesus did with this. Because what he didn't say was don't steal. Don't covet. He went the other way with it. Slammed them together and said, hold so loosely to what you have. That if somebody came to you and said, I want your coat, you can have it. And you can have my shirt as well. I'll carry your stuff, not just for a second. I'll go an extra mile with you. What do you need from me? I'm here to serve, not to get served. He said, let your left hand not know what your right hand is doing. What does that mean, Jesus? It means this, that you give so generously to people that are in need that you see it. You'd see it. And it's like your left brain doesn't know what the right side of your brain is doing. You have amnesia to how much you do to give to other people. That is good for you It'll make your life different. And you want to talk about a beautiful community of people? If you live like that, wow, this is what I want for you to be able to live that. And when it comes to lying, I mean, is the bar really so low that all we have to think about, uh-oh, I'm going to court and I have to bear witness, I've been subpoenaed, I swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. Is it that? Because it says, bear not false witness against your neighbor. That was a court of law language. Or Jesus said, how about this? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Just that. Live such a life. Be so true to the core. Let your true north be so true north that when you say yes, people know it's a yes. He's trustworthy. She's trustworthy. When you say no, it means no. Like what comes out of your mouth is congruent with everything you are to the core. This is what I want for you and the people around you, for my people to be this way in the world. And then, as if all of this wasn't beautiful enough and incredible enough, that Jesus is going, Lekayem. I did not come to bring this bar so low that it's about you keeping the rules. I'm raising it up because there is a goal for you to live into and allow God to do this work in your life. And then Jesus goes like to another level. And he says, you know what? You've heard that it was said. That's kind of lay a core. But I say to you, and what he said is that we're supposed to love our enemies. You've heard that it was said that you should love your friends. You should love your family. Like, okay, that's, well, who doesn't do that, Jesus said. Everybody loves the people that they love. I'm asking you to love even your enemies because that will change the world. That'll, you know, if you defeat your enemies, Thomas Keating said this, if you defeat your enemies, you win. But if you make your enemies your friends, God wins. How does God win? Well, Jesus won this way. Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote more books of the Bible than anyone else, met up with Jesus on a road to Damascus, had his life completely altered by that connection with Jesus. He said that all of us were once enemies of God, but he made us his friends. That's what Jesus said. He said, I don't even call you enemies anymore. Doesn't even drop that language. I don't call you servants anymore. You and you, 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 you're my friends. You're my friends. It's how God won. It's through the cross, it's through the resurrection, it's through his shed blood that the one who knew no sin became sin so that we could become the righteousness. We could be made right again with God. That's the call in our lives. Not just for us, but then for others that are around us, because our lives aren't meant to just be about ourselves. It's to get on the same mission God was on, which tells me something about these 10 commandments as Jesus unpacked them, as he went lekayem on them. These aren't just rules to live by. They can't be. Not that, not just that. Or especially, they're not rules to live under. They're actually rules to love by. Verse 4, love God. Next 6, how do we love one another and live out of love toward the people around us, even our enemies? Jesus, at one point, was teaching, and he was questioned. He was on a stool because that's what rabbis did. And if you can imagine, once in a while I do. I don't know if you ever do this, but once in a while when I read scripture, I'll just try to put myself in the story and imagine actually hearing the voice of Jesus. Someday we'll get to do that. whether it's at his return or when we go one at a time. But to hear Jesus being asked a question, tell us about the Ten Commandments, Jesus. Can you give us the most important one out of that list? And Jesus said, yeah, I can tell you about that. Love God. And saying that, he covered the first four. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. And then he covered the next six. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who's your neighbor? Jesus. He talked about that too. I could tell you a bunch of stories. And then he said, let me give you one. And he picks the most unlikely person to be a neighbor to. It's kind of back to that statement about enemies. He went there. Just, let's keep it really high. Let's keep the goal of your life so high that you will understand that the call on your life is to walk as I walk, to live as I live, to act as I act, to understand that my way is meant to be your way. That's what you were made for. That is what is good for you, and that is what will make a difference in this world. That. These are the rules to love by, if you will, for us to step into. And to that end, I want to ask that we would pray and commit ourselves to this. You sat on a stool. You unpacked the Ten Commandments. You made it very clear. I haven't come here to misinterpret them, to diminish them so that you would never understand how beautiful they are for you. I've come to bring them to life. I've come to fulfill. I've come to lekayem so that you can see the depth and the meaning and the height to which by the power of the Holy Spirit in you, by the work of the blood of Jesus to save you, by the resurrection that has claimed you as my own, you are my friends. Now go and live into these, and in so living, loving as I loved. May we who have been rescued and redeemed and renewed and empowered so live that others would say of us, I love their Jesus, and wow, I love them. Why? Because he loved me first, because they love me so well. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how you can be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.